Drupal Voices is a series of interviews with people contributing to the Drupal community. Brought to you by Lullabot Consulting. Whether you need technical architecture, developer support, optimization and analysis, on-site training, or just general guidance for your Drupal project, Lullabot has led many of the largest Drupal projects in the world. Visit lullabot.com or call 877-LULLABOT to find out how we can help you with your next project.
My name is Mike Gifford. I'm the president of Open Concept Consulting. I've been contributing to Drupal 7 for the last 2-3 years now on trying to go off and improve the accessibility of Drupal Core. And we work with a lot of organizations, both nonprofits and government agencies, where accessibility is important. And we decided to take a stab at trying to improve the accessibility of Drupal Core rather than individual sites, because we saw that by improving Core and by engaging with the community, we'd be able to improve accessibility for everyone and be able to have a much better product by default as opposed to simply providing a patch for an individual client. And it's been a long process and a very time-consuming process in terms of addressing issues of usability and performance, and it's been an interesting learning experience with the Drupal 7 community. But I think we've gotten to a stage where we're very happy to see all the improvements that have been brought into Drupal 7 and are really looking forward to Drupal 8 and seeing how much better it can be over the next 2 or 3 years, and looking ahead at issues that we weren't able to address in Drupal 7 and with new technologies like CSS3 and HTML5 that are still emerging and still are, well, CSS3 isn't emerging, but HTML5 and WAI area are still new technologies that are in draft form that are going to have a huge impact on how people of all technologies understand and are able to interact with the web. And we're very much looking forward to refining and being involved in the implementation of that.
Yeah, and I talked to Everett Zufelt last year, and he was an employee of yours at the time. Mm-hmm. I'm sure if he's still there, but you were able to sort of like support him in a way in terms of him contributing to being like the Drupal 7 accessibility maintainer or co-maintainer. Mm-hmm. So talk about like how as a company you're able to sort of like pull that off, whether it's grant funding or like if you have other revenue streams, or just talk about like sort of your involvement in that way.
With Everett, when we first were engaged with him, it was with grant funding, and there was an opportunity to employ him through a government grant, and that worked out very well for us and for him as well, to go off and have a person to be dedicated and working on Drupal 7 issues and to be able to commit as many different changes and bring up as many concerns as there are for people who are very technically savvy as well as blind and able to understand the challenges of somebody being able to want to have full access to the power that Drupal has as a blind user. So it was a great opportunity, and he worked with us for a number of months before he began working at the CNIB, which is the Canadian National Institute for the Blind, and now he's working as a self-employed consultant, and zufeld.ca is where you can get more information about what he's doing there. But initially it was through grants, and we're looking at supporting the accessibility work that we did, and we were doing accessibility work before we hired Everett. But we were doing this largely as a means to go off and to reach out to do more government websites, and seeing that without improving the accessibility of Drupal 7, it was one other barrier that was stopping Drupal implementation within a lot of large organizations. Any large organization has people who are within that who have accessibility challenges, whether it's people who have physical disabilities with movement and are restricted to that, or people who are aging and having trouble reading the fonts on their web page, or colorblind, or there's so many different types of accessibility challenges out there. And it's a significant portion of the population that has different challenges and that uses assistive technology in all kinds of different ways. So we saw the opportunity to get involved in accessibility, to be able to reach out to government especially, and we're quite happy to go off and see that this is no longer a barrier that is getting in the way of implementation in government. Drupal 7 is much more accessible by default than almost any other CMS that the government is likely to implement, and it's being tested and reviewed by a lot of different people, and there's a lot of reasons to begin with Drupal 7 as a starting point for government projects and for projects where you want to include as many people as possible by default.
Cool. And there was just a Drupal and government Birds of a Feather that just happened and just ended. And, Phase 2 Technology is also just recently releasing their open government distribution. So talk a bit about like what was the buzz in the Drupal and government and the Birds of a Feather that just happened here.
I think there's a lot of interest around accessibility for sure, because that's certainly one of the things in the U.S. that I think most government agencies are struggling with accessibility challenges. In the U.S., there's a revised Section 508 standard that a lot of government agencies are going to need to meet. There's in Canada, there's been a recent case where there's been that the Treasury Board was sued by somebody because the site wasn't accessible and she couldn't apply for a job. And there's other cases around the world where this is taking place and where governments are realizing the need for accessibility. But a lot of it's also being around precedent and trying to ensure that there's a tendency within government for people not to want to stick out their necks, not to want to do something new and different, because that's not what public servants are there for. It's not designed to be innovators. It's a lot of the public sector, not that there aren't public sector employees who do innovative, very innovative work, but generally it's more important that the checks and balances are taken care of, and that everything is in a line and everything's organized, and that you're doing what somebody else has done before. So it's very difficult for a new, relatively new product like Drupal to get established within the government and to be accepted, both in terms of implementing the software, but also sharing those contributions back. A lot of government agencies are actually stopped from sharing their contributions back to either the general public by contributing to Drupal.org, or even between different government agencies, because lawyers or technocrats are worried about the implications of contributing back to an open source project or contributing software at all. If a government agency contributes anything back, there's a fear that there will be a liability response, and that government agency will be responsible for damages due because, some accessibility enhancement that they've contributed back went off and wasn't accessible, and, they get sued for it. So this is one of the fears that people have. And it was actually interesting. I was talking to Richard Stallman about this specific issue and about people being worried about being sued around contributions to the GPL. And he said that in his experience, he doesn't know anyone who has successfully been sued for any software that was released under the GPL. So if Richard Stallman doesn't think that it's there, then there's a probably pretty good chance that it's not that big a risk and going forward into the future. And the GPL is by no means a new license that is cutting edge or not understood at this point.
And you had mentioned sort of like looking forward to Drupal 8, and today's Dries' keynote, he talked about how accessibility is one of the big priorities of improving accessibility, but also sort of a gate of checking through whether or not some new patch that's going in is accessible. Mm-hmm. So what is your connection going to be towards like looking at the issues of what can be improved from Drupal 7 to Drupal 8? And how do you foresee you personally sort of being involved in that process?
It's very interesting. I think that many of us are surprised about seeing that. And I was talking to Brandon Bowser-Sox about this morning as well, because he hadn't heard of this idea. And I don't know how many other people had heard about accessibility being one of the gates, as well as usability and performance in terms of stopping code from getting into the core stream of Drupal 8. I'm definitely interested in being involved. I think that there's so much potential to have that, and think that there's a space to automate some of the tests and processes so that it doesn't necessarily require an individual to go off and to do that physical review all the time, to go off and make sure that a patch doesn't break an accessibility issue. And that there's hopefully space to go off and to be involved with the various initiatives to look at some of the broader issues that come forward, like the I know that there was certainly initial concern with overlay and the implementation of overlay by people who were involved in accessibility. And it's something that I haven't been much involved in, because it was something that there were just so many issues in Drupal 7 to get involved in that I couldn't go off and focus. But I think that having somebody involved in each one of the initiatives that comes forward that will hopefully feed into Drupal 8 to be able to look at and evaluate the accessibility challenges of the bigger picture is going to be important as well, and looking at raising the awareness of all of the challenges that are involved in thinking about universal design for people. It's going to be a big challenge, and I'm hoping to be involved, and I think that there's a lot of opportunity for Drupal 8, and hopefully we can get it out in the next 2 years.
Cool. And since, Drupal 8 is anywhere from 1 to 2 years away, mm-hmm. what do you sort of plan on doing with open concept consulting? Like, what is sort of your day-to-day input and output in terms of, like, the job that you do and, related to Drupal and accessibility?
I'm the president of Open Concept, and there's about a dozen of us at this point, and we're busy doing all kinds of Drupal implementations and multilingual implementations and advocacy campaigns, and involved in contributing other modules to the Drupal community as well. So We're definitely very involved in promoting Drupal, both in the government. We've organized two Drupal showcases in Ottawa, talking about Drupal in government and raising awareness about this great opportunity. And we're going to continue to do that and continue to work on implementing, you know, Drupal implementations for our clients as we go along, and continue to improve Drupal and work on finding the best and brightest ideas, the best practices for accessibility and usability to implement for all of our clients.
So even though you're a consulting shop, it sounds like you're doing site building and development as well. And are there any specific modules that people should be aware of that are accessibility related?
We haven't contributed much to the Accessible Helper module. That's certainly something that we see as being a critical part of improving the accessibility of sites between major releases. I think that there's a lot that themes can do, there's a lot that individual modules can do, but there are some things and some issues that I think the Accessible Helper module is going to be quite important to help bridge that gap between major releases and major jumps. There's some things like there's no way at the moment to provide table summaries in Drupal. There's no precedent for doing this. You can hard code it. You can do anything by hand. But there's no Drupal way to go off and provide table captions or summary data for user content. So that's certainly an issue that the Accessible Helper module can work on. That being said, we haven't actually contributed to that, and we're interested in seeing it get implemented and think that there's a lot of potential for using that as we go forward. But we haven't contributed other accessible modules in the interim. We think that most of our efforts have been limited to simply looking at Drupal core and looking at pointing out accessibility issues in the issue queue when we discover them in modules that we happen to be implementing for our own sites.
Cool. Well, do you have any other final thoughts about, you know, accessibility in the Drupal world?
I mean, first of all, I'm really happy to see the importance that accessibility has had since the release of Drupal 7 and see how seriously it was considered by everyone in the Drupal 7 process, and even more excited seeing the importance that Dries gave at his State of Drupal address earlier today. And it's interesting, in the DrupalCon, there are more DrupalCon sessions in Chicago than have ever been run before. Actually, there are as many, but it's there's one that was canceled. But it's really exciting to see that there's that many people who are interested in learning how accessibility applies to them, and seeing the importance of programming for edge cases. And if we go off and look at the importance of accessibility for blind users or people who are keyboard-only users or people who use puffers to navigate the web, or even people who have cognitive issues or learning disabilities, there are ways that we can improve the user interface for all of us. It's not just about the blind people. It's not just about the people who don't have arms. It's not just about the people who are those other people. It's for all of us. There's all of us who at one time or another have accessibility as an issue that gets in the way of us accomplishing things. And the more that we can think about it as a community and think about its implementation to benefit all of us, there's a common joke is in the accessibility community is who is the largest, richest blind web user? Well, that's Google. Google is the largest, richest blind web user, and they're able to go off and if you improve your website for blind users, you're also going to be improving it for Google, and that'll benefit people who are coming to your site, the site owners, let alone the users who might be colorblind or who might have visual impairments or might just be trying to go off and use their keyboard because they have carpal tunnels issues, or maybe they've injured their hand in playing volleyball and they're, you know, having trouble with, you know, dealing with the fine motor control in one hand because it's swollen. Like, there's a lot of issues that we all are affected by, and it's by going off and programming for the extremes, we're all able to benefit when these things are considered.
Okay, well, great. Thanks.
Excellent. Thank you very much.